Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Welcome back to the show. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, that means you're a highly intelligent individual. And let me tell you what you got to look forward to. You're going to get a lot smarter over the next 30 minutes as we interview a new friend, hopefully someone who will become an old friend, David McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, the 2-time Pulitzer Prize winner, many other awards that he has won for his writings, for his books. The most recent one that I have of his is John Adams, which he won a Pulitzer Prize for. Also, his book Truman, he won the Pulitzer for. Many others, many of you remember. The first one that I have on my list is the Johnstown Flood. His newest book is 1776, the book about a very important year in the history of America. And as I say, he's our new friend. David McCullough, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And folks, I know many of you, so many of you have seen David being interviewed on television and maybe in other radio shows. He's a very important person. David, on behalf of all Americans who love history and who value the rich history that we have and love to hear more and more about those very special people that you chronicle in this book and in some of your other books, I want to thank you on behalf of myself and all of the others of us.
Well, that's extremely gracious of you, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
The founders are perhaps the most amazing group of people. In my opinion, the founders of the American experiment, as Lincoln called it, are the most American group of people, perhaps in the history of mankind. What do you think?
Well, I think you can make a very good case for that, and the fact that they arose out of such a small population in a place that was looked upon by much of the rest of the so-called civilized world as remote and behind the times. What they did is utterly amazing, and particularly when you consider how young they were. We see them as the founding fathers with their powdered hair and awkward teeth, and we see them in paintings that were done when they were older men. But Washington was only 43 when he first took command of the Continental Army. Jefferson was 33 when he wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
A young officer like Henry Knox was 25 years old when Washington gave him one of the most important assignments of the whole war.
Right.
And very few of them had any experience either in war or in revolutions. And none of them had any experience in revolutions. They weren't European revolutionaries who had come in to show us how to do it. It was improvisation all the way through. And the longest war in our history, except for Vietnam, which most people don't realize.
Right. No, absolutely. And when you think about from declaration to a full constitution, was it about 13 years, wasn't it?
That's right.
Something like that. I mean, that's a long time. You know, I go back to what Ralph Waldo Emerson said in the Fortunes of the Republic. He said, "We began with freedom." Leonard Levy wrote that freedom was mainly a product of the New World. I mean, you were talking about they didn't know what they were doing. Basically, they were fighting for something that was a pretty new concept, this concept of freedom.
Well, and no colonial people had ever successfully revolted against the mother country.
Right.
And they had no navy. They had no money. There wasn't a single bank in all of the United States since 1776. And they were a pickup army, untrained, no uniforms, and being led by men that very often had no experience. Nathaniel Greene, who turned out to be the best general we had in the whole war, was a Quaker with a limp which should have disqualified him from a childhood injury, and who knew nothing about the military except what he'd read in books. But you have to remember that was the 18th century, the Enlightenment, when it was widely understood that a good way to learn things was to read books. And he really did, as did Henry Knox,
right.
And as did Washington.
Right.
Neither Washington, Knox, nor Green had any but the most basic formal schooling, not much past seventh grade, let's say.
Right.
And they were all keenly intelligent, all three, and all imbued with the ideals of honor, civic virtue, character.
David, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. David McCullough is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about his book, 1776, and when we come back, this whole thing started before 1776, lasted longer than 1776. Why was this year such a big year to be the title of his book? 20 Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our new friend, David McCullough, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author. His new book is called 1776, a very important year in the life of Americans, and in fact, in the life of the world, if you really think about it. Folks, when I read David's books, as I have in the past, especially the John Adams book, most recently, besides 1776, I said to myself, there's something special about this guy. There's something I couldn't put my finger on. Why is it that attracted me to this guy so much? Why did I feel such a connection to him? And just now off the air, I found out why. David, tell the audience why you're a kindred spirit to us.
Well, I grew up in a family that was supported, lived by a small business, the McCullough Electric Company in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which was started by my grandfather, run by my father for about 70 years, and now is run by my brother, George, and the business is over 100 years old, so we're very proud of it.
Congratulations, folks. Now, that's a good reason to go out and buy David McCullough's books.
And I have to say, too, Jim, one of the reasons I have set off to find my own way away from the McCullough Electric Company is there was only enough room in it for one of the brothers. And so the one that had the best head for business, George, is the one that went into it.
Well, we're glad both businesses are doing well, because we wouldn't want to do without your perspective on history. David, as we went to the break, I pointed out that this rabble that turned into a nation started a lot earlier than 1776. In fact, I've got in some of my own research I've done for my own writings, I was looking at John Dickinson, who in 1766 said that the idea of freedom was born with us, exists with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. That was 20 years before 1776. We know that things didn't really come together, and we didn't become a nation till like 1789. Why did you? And obvious, other than the obvious of July 4th being the date of the Declaration of Independence, 1776. Other than that, why is that such a big year?
Because it was the year we were born. It was the year that we announced to the world that we were going to be independent. And we did it in a way in which we also stated very high ideals that we took to be our creed. But those high ideals, as expressed in the Declaration of Independence, would have only been words on paper had we not taken on the fight.
Right.
And that's what my book, 1776, is really about. It's about that other story, the other part of the year 1776, than the Declaration of Independence. When we celebrate July 4th, when those fireworks are filling the sky, we shouldn't just think of the people at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the authors of the Declaration of Independence, the members of the Second Continental Congress who voted for the Declaration of Independence. We should think of those men in rags,
right,
who were out marching with Washington,
mm-hmm,
who were going to make sure that these high words meant something. And at one point, they were down at the end of the year. They were down to only 3,000 men, 3,000 soldiers, a large number of whom were sick, all of whom were hungry, none of whom had any winter clothing, and it was getting very cold.
They were freezing to death.
Yes, and men marching with their feet wrapped in rags. And it seemed that all hope was gone.
Washington
even
wrote.
But there were some people who would not give up. And Washington, of course, is the classic example of a born leader. He wasn't a great intellectual like Jefferson or Adams, and he wasn't a spellbinding speaker, but he was a great leader. He wasn't even a great military man, but men would follow him. Mm-hmm. And he learned from his mistakes, and he would not be defeated in spirit. His example is what saved us. And when they referred to him later as the indispensable man, that really wasn't an exaggeration. He was indispensible.
You know,
this was the darkest time in our history, Jim. This year, that year, 1776, right, the first year was the worst year. And September 11th, 9/11, people were saying this is the most dangerous, bleakest, difficult, uncertain time in our history. Mm-hmm. Well, it is a difficult, dangerous time, but it's not the worst by any means. Mm-hmm. We've been through worse.
You still think 1776 was the worst?
Oh, absolutely. And
because they were trying to pull together some kind of a formation of something. They didn't know what it was. Before this, all we had was a rabble. Now they're trying to come up with something. Later on, it was something that we actually could identify with because we had a Declaration of Independence. What was the reason?
Well, we were losing one battle after another. Our troops were deserting by the thousands. The prospects of our success were about as bleak as you could imagine. When they marched through New Jersey and the British Army came after them, and the British Army offered forgiveness for anybody who would swear allegiance to the king, New Jersey people by the thousands came in to take the oath of allegiance. Everybody thought it was over. And in fact, if you look at that year, there are about five points in that year where it could have gone the other way, when it could have been all over. And it's really, the more you study it, the more you have to say it's a miracle, truly, that it came out the way it did.
Well, and there was a time when Washington wrote that he truly didn't know, he really didn't think that they were going to make it. The general didn't think he was going to make it.
Yeah, he said the game's about up.
Yeah. Stand by, David. We got to take another break. When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask David about some more of these founders and his thoughts on them. David McCullough, the book is 1776, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author. David McCullough and I will be right back. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and David McCullough is our guest. David, do you have a website?
No, I do not.
Well, we got to get you a website, David.
I have no website, no computer, and no focus group.
You hold no currency?
I write on a 1940 Royal Standard typewriter.
You sound like me when years ago I made my living on an Underwood 5.
Yeah, well, my friends, my high-tech children all say to me, don't you realize how much faster you could go if you used a computer? And I try to explain to them, the last thing I want to do is go faster. If anything, I want to go slower.
Well, it's quality, not quantity, and that's what
right.
I think about when I think
of your
books.
Well, I don't think all that fast.
I'm with you. If you plug it up, it'd go faster than you. I'm with you on that one. The book is 1776, folks. It's available wherever books are sold. Now out in paperback, right?
That's right.
Thank you for that. And it's a national,
beautiful, beautiful edition of it, I must say.
I've got my copy here. The only bad thing about my book is it hasn't been autographed yet, and I think I'm going to send it back to you and get you to autograph it for me.
I'd be delighted to.
David, I want to get back to the founders in a minute, but what are your thoughts on teaching history in America schools?
I think that the decline in the quality of teaching of history, the availability of history to students is the most serious problem in education we have. We're raising a generation or two or three of young Americans who are by and large historically illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are wonderful teachers of history everywhere in the country, but they're fewer and farther between. And it's a problem that ought to be taken very seriously. It's like a creeping amnesia. But it's also a problem that can be solved. And it's just a matter of applying some pretty obvious changes in direction. I think we've got to stop educating teachers with degrees in education.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to teach a subject you don't know much about.
Right.
And it's happening everywhere, not just in history. They tell me that in physics it's worst of all. And you can't love something you don't know. If you're a young person just out of school of education with a degree in education and you're assigned to teach history, you're really trying to keep two or three steps ahead of the students by close reading of the textbook. And very mm-hmm. often the textbooks are really dreary
mm-hmm.
and hardly stimulating or a pleasure to read. But if you don't love the subject, you can't love something you don't know any more than you can love someone you don't know. And we all have had the experience of those teachers, those
right.
wonderful teachers who loved what they were teaching.
I had history teachers, and I remember, of course, in those days they were. Some of them were about to retire, and I was very young, and I thought, you know, when they were talking about the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, I imagined them actually being there, you know.
Sure, you felt like you were involved.
But they loved it, and that's the way I feel when I read your books. I feel like you put us there, David, in a great way. And I want to get you back another day to talk about this some more. But before you go, I want to talk some more about the founders. Pick out one of the founders and talk to us about them for the next minute and a half. I've always felt that you could take any of these founders, put them down in the middle of America today, and within 30 days they'd be functioning. They were that intelligent. What do you think?
Oh, I think they would. They would be dizzy with the speed of life.
And they'd love it, though, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would, and they would be stimulated by it. There are certain things they would really love. They'd love our dentistry, for example.
And toothbrushes, right?
and they would love medicine, as modern medicine, yeah. and the ways we have to relieve pain and suffering. They would not like the poisonous role of big money in politics
right.
today. That they would not like at all. I think it would really break their hearts.
But I think they would like the beacon that America has been to freedom around the world.
Absolutely. And they would be amazed, truly amazed, that the system that they put in place still stands.
Yeah.
That we're still living by the same Constitution.
They really would be amazed.
Yeah, certainly would.
Astonished.
And the thing that ought to be always remembered about the founders is that they weren't gods. They weren't demigods. They were human beings.
And only fallible.
Each had his failings. Each had his deficiencies and his flaws, and they were human. But that's what makes their story so remarkable: that these human beings could rise to the occasion as they did, often not liking each other very much.
David, we have to accomplish
what they did.
We have to wrap it up. Many of them were small business owners. Most of them were. David, will you come back another day? We got a lot more to talk about.
All right, Jim. Thanks so much.
Thank you for being here. Good job today. David McCullough, ladies and gentlemen. The book is 1776, now out in paperback. Pick it up soon. I'll be back on the other side of the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.